I don't know what to say. I always say hi or hey, and I feel like it's repetitive. How do you start a podcast and be original every single time?
I don't know, man. Maybe it just becomes your thing.
Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, there you go. I like it. Why mess with perfection?
Well, exactly. Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. Things are great.
Nice.
Life is great, man. How are you doing?
You know what? I'm great. I have a song stuck in my head, which is driving me crazy because I can't stop singing literally the one line.
Oh my God, that happens to me every single day.
It drives me crazy.
I love music, but when you get that one stuck in your head, sometimes it's great, sometimes it's annoying. So what's the song?
Well, this song, it's a fairly new song. It's by a band called Anyway Gang, and the song's called Reckless Reckless.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe if I heard it.
It has this thing that I'm convinced. So the song goes, reckless, reckless, don't try to save us. Ba, 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 da, da, da.
Actually, you do a good job, man. You missed your calling.
Thanks. I think so. But the ba, da, ba, 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 da, ba, ba, that shit right there is the secret. I can't sing. I can't write music. I'll never be a music producer. But I am 1,000% convinced if you put a ba-ba-ba, a do-do-do, a do-do-do, a hey-hey-hey in a song, it's going to be successful.
Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la.
Exactly. Well, just think about it. Think of, for 1 second. Think of like Duran Duran, Hungry Like the Wolf. They have like that whole section of like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Dude.
Oh my God. And it's such a great song. That's like totally my era.
Or like the Proclaimers. I'm going to be the 500 mile song. Da 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 da. You know, you got Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charmed Kind of Life.
What a great way to start a podcast. Oh my God, you just changed my mood. I was in a great mood. You just made me into an exceptional mood.
But I'm not even kidding. Like, look at Black Betty. Bam-a-lam.
Black Betty. I can't help but laugh of joy. One of my favorites is Mr. Jones too. That's the first one that comes to my mind.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sha la 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 la.
Exactly. You put one of those in, well, Kiss. I Was Made for Loving You. It's like the first 40 seconds of their song is like do 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 do. They were like saying, "Hey, we're gonna sing the beat of the song for you, dummies." And then you guys will get it down. And even if you can't sing, you're just going to go, do, 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 do.
As much as I love music, I've never paid so much attention to that as I am right now. That's
messed. Oom-bop.
Yeah, I can't even keep up with that one. That was a monster hit, too.
And then you got that, what's that, Eiffel 65? I'm blue, abba-dee-ba-da-da.
Andre, of course, my brother Andre keeps coming up because he messes with me because I like to think I could remember these lyrics when we're playing guitar and singing some tunes. But anyway, I'll be singing this song and I always revert back to I'm blue. If I OD'd, I would die. If I OD'd, I would die. If I OD'd, I would die. Because I don't have a clue what they're saying.
Oh my God. It's literally
I'm clueless,
just
but I like it.
Dabba deba da die.
No, I can't do it. No, it's if I would eat, I would die.
That's the thing. Countless songs that are successful have this. And if you look at some really good, successful songs that have it, you're like, that is the secret to success, I think.
Yeah.
Good Which rhythm. Is amazing. But listen, hey, let's get to the show. And our intro doesn't have any do-do-do's, da-da-da's, or ho-ho-ho's, hey-hey-hey. So
I don't know, man. I'm liking the topic of the intro conversation.
Oh, but I think you got something big coming up for us, eh? You got a little surprise?
Well, this was collective. I can't take all the credit for it.
You know what? I'll take the credit. Doo-doo, da-da-da, hey-hey-hey, ho-ho-ho. This is Taming the Hustle.
Or something of the sorts.
Hey, so you have a guest for us today.
Daryl, we have a guest.
We have a guest.
Such a nerd.
So who's our guest?
Actually, our guest is from Northwestern Ontario, who owns La Place Rendezvous in Fort Francis. Here's Sarah Noonan.
Oh my God. Renee, you're going to have to say the the name of the business from here on out. I can't sexy roll my tongue like you do when you say it.
I've heard that before.
Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Hey, were you listening in when we were talking about the doo-doo-doos, da-da-das, ba-ba-bas, ho-ho-hos, hey-hey-heys?
I was listening in. You guys came up with some classic tunes there. Well done.
Do you know of a song that has the repetitiveness in it?
I do. And you guys might get upset with me for sharing this because it's going to be stuck in your head for the rest of the day.
I know. But I already know what song you're going to say. It's got to be by the Police, the doo-doo-doo, da-da-da.
Close but no cigar.
Ah, I thought I had it.
It's got to be Baby Shark.
Oh my God, not yeah. Baby Shark.
Dead Lasso. Jimmy Dark.
Oh my God,
you're
Baby
right.
Shark.
We're doomed.
Oh, that's
going
to be
so
my head.
Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah. It's awesome.
Thanks
it's
for
be
having
a great
me.
Show today.
So Sarah, like I was saying to Renee, I can't say the name of your business as well as he does because it's way too sexy when he says it. So is there a little nickname? Like, is there something I can say that's a little easier?
Well, I have to admit that Renee says it better than I do as well. So we'll let him have that for sure. We have a couple of names we go by. People refer to us as just The Rendezvous or The VU.
Oh, the VU.
Our staff, our crew, we call The VU crew. So it's kind of a
nice.
Catchy name. We like
Sweet.
To call our team.
I like
nice.
It.
Well, tell us about The VU. That's what I'm going to call it.
Sure. So The Rendezvous, like Renee said, we're located in Fort Frances. We're right on the Minnesota border, actually, and close to the Manitoba border. So we're pretty far nice. Over here in Ontario. And we're a full service hotel. We've been in the community for over 50 years, family run. My grandpa Leo bought a little restaurant in the 70s, and it's just kind of grown from there. My
awesome.
My dad and uncle ran it for decades, and I came in just a few years ago.
A wonderful family indeed.
Thank you. So we're kind of a hub in town. We're a popular spot to come and eat, or we have a lounge, a dining room. We have an event center, so we host a lot of celebrations and weddings, meetings, conferences. So if you live in Fort Frances, you most likely have some memory of being at La Place Rendezvous.
Awesome.
And then we welcome lots of visitors as well. So we have 67 hotel rooms. We have a couple of cabins.
Oh, wow.
A few long-term stay units. So lots of workers, travelers, the U.S. fishermen love to come up in the summertime, and we're excited to welcome them back here after a few weird summers. So yeah, we've got a lot going on, and we're a great spot located right on Rainy Lake.
That's awesome. So hey, I used to coach university hockey, and I was once in a hotel in Boston, and they had sleep number beds. And I have to ask you, do you have sleep number beds? Because that changes whether I come or not.
Hmm. Well, I'm not familiar with sleep number beds, but no, we don't.
Oh, good. I'm in.
We do pride ourselves on buying a high quality mattress, though, for hospitality.
Nice.
So we do get lots of compliments on a comfortable sleep, good pillows, and it means a lot, right? People are working hard or traveling, and they
yeah.
want to have a good night's sleep. So
don't
it's a
go
Marshall
down
product.
The sleep number bed. So it's okay. like an inflatable system. And I woke up in the middle of the night and the bed, I guess, had broken or malfunctioned. And I was literally sucked into the bed. It was like my own little cocoon of panic.
Weight Watchers, buddy.
Well, we haven't had to rescue anyone out of a bed yet. So I think that's a good sign.
I can attest from staying there multiple times that their rooms are amazing and their beds are very comfy.
That's awesome.
What beats all of it, though, is the view. I mean, you're right on the lake and it's just a really, really sweet spot to stay.
The view at the VU.
Hey, that's one of our hashtags.
Yeah.
Not as
go.
Strong currently as Call Renee, but we're trying.
That's
awesome.
That's wicked. So you said it was a family run business. So is this something that, like, you know, through when you were like 6 years old, 16 years old, 20 years old, you were like, that's it, taking it over, and you jumped right in, or what?
Not so direct of a path, a little bit of a roundabout way of being involved, but I definitely feel like I grew up in the building. So just even hanging out as a kid, this was always my youth employment, starting in grade 8, you know, busing,
nice.
Dishwashing, doing events, and then serving into my university years. So it was always a great job to have in the summer. Work really hard, save up, pay your tuition for the next year kind of thing. I felt like I did lots of different positions. And at one point when I finished university, did a short stint as a front desk manager.
Nice.
But my career path led me to teaching after that. So I attended the University of Minnesota Duluth. I have a degree in exercise science from there. I actually played soccer for the Bulldogs for 4 years.
Oh, wow. That's
sweet.
Cool.
I did not know that about you. That's awesome.
So that was an amazing 4 years of my life. And then I went to Thunder Bay. I got my teacher's training there at Lakehead University. And then I moved home. So I started teaching. I was lucky after a year of supply teaching, I got a pretty sweet gig, kind of my dream teaching job of a full-time high school phys ed teacher.
Oh, phew. I thought you were going to say French teacher and we would totally would have lost Daryl. Oh my God. Whoa, we dodged a bullet there, Sarah.
That was close. That was close. I heard her say teaching and I sat up in my chair. And it was very
speaking
close.
Speaking of goo, 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 ga, ga, ga.
I'm not as soft-spoken. I'm not quite your type, Daryl. So.
Yeah, you got the brown hair, the fair skin. You're close. If you would have said
French teacher. Je peux
parler
français.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. That's
you had
it.
To
it's
go
over.
There. Oh, no, you Jeez. Didn't.
I got no more questions.
He can't control himself. So when was the turning point for you? I mean, you went into teaching, but now you're running this business on your own and you're rocking it.
It was a big switchover. So it was kind of a light switch moment when my parents were talking about selling the business, retiring, getting out of it. And I loved teaching. I loved coaching. Very much could have stayed in that profession, but I just had a change of heart. And when they were talking about it not being a family business anymore, I just couldn't stand for it almost.
That's awesome.
So I became very passionate to want to get into the family business to learn it. I felt that I had a skill set that I could share to help the business go forward in the family name. It took a little bit of convincing. My parents weren't sold right off the hop because I had a good thing going. Young family, three kids, teaching career, summer's off.
I hope you still have the
sweet.
Three kids.
Yeah, those still going strong there.
That was part of the negotiation. Just like, I'll tell you what, mom and dad, you give me the business, I'll get rid of the three kids.
Didn't have to barter that hard, but because they understand what goes into running a business and they know the challenges and they knew what, you know, I would be dealing with moving forward. But I did have a change of heart and it's what I wanted to do. And I was actually surprised how much of what I learned in the teaching profession serves me well in business. So I wasn't expecting there to be that much translation, but it did set me up to, you know, step into this big new role. I worked side by side with my dad for over a year. And then I just kind of ran with it from there.
I remember when you and I were doing some brainstorming during that sort of transition period where mom and dad were not discouraging it, but were definitely not encouraging the transition or, you know, the idea of you taking over the business because of the sweet gig that you had. I felt that you were an entrepreneur at heart. And I felt that this was your calling, that you had to do it. There would have been a point, I think, in your teaching career that you would have felt maybe an emptiness or a void of some sort.
Yeah, I feel that I've had this entrepreneurial spirit. I've always kind of had this idea of starting other small businesses and never really took a serious thought of the rendezvous. And so when the opportunity came, I truly haven't looked back. I've always kind of put my heart and soul into things, whether it was through athletics, through my teaching career. And now in business, I find that so rewarding to be able to fully apply yourself, to see benefit from your hard work, to still stay connected with people. And there's challenges for sure, but I find it very rewarding.
Well, not even as a young woman in business, but I remember you and I having a chat about how you really had to bust your balls growing up, just being part of the family business with everyone sort of seeing you as getting a freebie of getting a free paycheck just because, you know, dad owned the place.
Yeah, maybe that's part of my competitive spirit a little bit. I didn't want anyone to think that I was getting something that I didn't earn. And granted, I still had the opportunity to have a job given to me when I wanted one. And that's a benefit for sure. I think it made me work harder because I didn't want people to say, yeah, she's not very good at her job. And the only reason she's here is because daddy gave her a job. So I never wanted that to be anyone's perception. So I mean, I still was kind of a goofball back in the day, a little bit on a couple things. We had a lot of fun here, but I still worked
Goofball's
very hard.
Good.
Mm-hmm. So Sarah, I know when people buy businesses, it's quite the obstacle just to even get like financing, try to figure out everything. How did you do this when you're trying to deal with where you're getting financing from or how you got financing? Then you got mom and dad saying, no, we don't want you to buy the business because you got a good thing going. So the way I kind of look at it is it's almost like you had so many hurdles to get over. You had that extra jump there of trying to convince the current owners to sell you the business.
Yeah, I think there's an extra layer of complexity complexity when you're buying a family business, because you care at a different level. You care about your parents, their retirement, their exit plan as much as you care about yourself entering it. So there's a lot more feelings. There's a lot more considerations you have to make. It's not just a one-sided negotiation. I was cautious to be respectful so that everyone comes out the way that it should and everyone's happy. And my parents put decades of hard work into their business, and I wanted their exit to be what they expected it to be as well. So family transitions have an extra layer of complexity, but it also gave me the opportunity to be able to do it. I couldn't have done it otherwise.
And I could see mom and dad's point as well, too, to know that,
for sure,
you know, there was a lot of sweat and tears put into that business and a lot of sacrifices that they had to make that they didn't necessarily want to see you have to struggle through, right?
And then it's harder for them to detach from that. It's still their business. It's their child. It's hard to separate yourself. So I it was a big ask for them to let me sort of do this, because I know it keeps them connected to the business for years to come. But I couldn't let that overtake my passion for wanting to take the business over. And I just really forced it for us to find a solution that everyone could live with.
They should be super fucking proud of you now that they've seen you sort of run with it for the last, you know, X amount of years, though, because you've really taken that place to the next level.
Yeah, the initial kind of year and learning. But I think what I've done with the business since, I think they're happy with it. So I think they feel comfortable and I think they're proud. So it's a nice feeling. And that was important, that the business went forward in a positive way.
They're not coming in and being like, these are the pens that you ordered to put in the rooms. How dare you?
I still consult them very much. I mean, I still very much value their opinion.
Yeah.
But I do tell people that it was kind of a blessing how my dad retired. He worked with me till I needed him. And then he really let me run with it. I think I'd be way more of a control freak if I was on that end. But he was like, great, doing a great job. I'm going golfing. Love you. Keep it up.
Awesome. Yeah, I was just going to say, he's just too busy doing holes in one everywhere.
So he wasn't hanging over my shoulder, watching every little thing. So that was nice to be able to feel like I could go in the direction I felt it needed to go. So
that's
grateful
awesome.
For that.
For me, Fort Francis it's far. I live like GTA.
It's very off the beaten track.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not somewhere I'm going to say, let's go for a weekend. So how do you do tourism? How do you get people? Like, what is your marketing? You don't have to tell me your full marketing strategy. Oh, what is it
whoop,
that
whoop.
You...
Here's the marketing beast.
I want to know. I want to know how are you getting people there? Because you're doing a hell of a job. You're busy all the time. So what's the secret?
Well, part of it is that it's a longstanding business. So we've created a client base in terms of locals and visitors that people come to us because they've always come to us. And that's a wonderful thing. I mean, our peak tourism season is the summer for sure. And lots of US fishermen come up. They fish Rainy Lake or they go further north to other more remote lakes. So we're a big hub for the Midwest in the US for Americans to come up and fish. We service the region and people coming to visit, people spending time on the lake, hockey tournaments in the winter.
Yeah.
The other majority of our business are local travelers, business people, families, hockey tournaments, that kind of stuff. So that brings us through the winter and it's not as busy, but
Daryl and I are having a hard time being convinced that your success is only because of a longstanding business. You got to be doing something different because you've really stepped up the game of La Place Rendezvous, and you've been very creative and very good at thinking outside the box. We need to hear from you what you've done to sort of attract that business. I mean, especially through the pandemic, right? Where a lot of tourism really suffered, where you seem to shine through. I mean, you've got to be doing something, and we need to hear your marketing strategy or your marketing take on what you've done to allow you to sort of shine and survive through, you know, a very difficult time.
You tell us, we won't tell anybody your secret.
Yeah, your secret's safe with us. Tell us what you feel comfortable sharing.
Well, I don't have any secret sauce, but I think it's just a bit of a determination.
I hear you doing your barbecue sauce for your wings.
Wing night is a big one. That's a huge night for us. And, you know, we did some crazy things during COVID, for example, on wing night. So we couldn't welcome people in for the Thursday wing night that's been running for 30 years. So we ran it as a drive-through out our loading door during COVID, where people would call in their wing order. We came up with a method where we would pre-cook and chill them and put them into orders of 20 in a foil container, and people reheated them at home for their own in-home wing night. And people loved it. We sold thousands of wings out the back door. I mean, we're wearing our FXR snowmobile suits in January and it's minus 30 and people are coming through to pick up their wings. Like, it was crazy, but we were almost willing to do anything to stay busy, keep people working, try and fill a need, a want for our customers. And they genuinely appreciated it. They'd be like, thank you for doing this. And I'm like, thanks for buying these, you know?
Thanks for paying the bills.
For sure.
I love the snowsuit company plug there too. Are you getting paid or what?
No, but it's like a uniform in Northwestern Ontario. Everybody wears FXR. So I just think that the marketing strategy is we're trying to expand our tourism offering. We're trying to make people come and visit Rainy Lake and stay here. And I'm working with our local tourism group to try and make more experiences local so that when you come to Fort Frances, you can do a variety of things. And there's an easy way for you to access. Maybe you can do a tour and pick blueberries. Maybe you can take a lunch to the park. Maybe you can go on a pontoon boat cruise on Rainy Lake. So we're trying to build that offering so that people do have more to do and they're choosing to stay in Fort Frances.
And when you put that message out there, are you strictly just trying to do it through tourism channels, or are you like social media? Are you, you know, putting ads on Google?
Yeah, so we try and keep a pretty active social media presence. We try to partner with local agencies that push tourism in the area so that we're listed as a kind of a trusted vendor or a location, an accommodation place to stay.
And that's important to do because it's kind of the piggybacking method, right? And I think that's such a great marketing strategy for people to do. Yes, you can just market on your own, but if somebody else is doing marketing and they can help you get that reach just a little bit more, it's going to be a lot more successful in the long run.
And even just things like improving our technology. So we just updated our front desk hotel booking software, and that just makes us more connected to the OTAs, which are online travel agencies. That's your booking.com, that's your Expedia. And immediately we're seeing more bookings there because we're better set up through it. So if you're not infusing technology in all parts of what you're doing in business right now, then you're missing the mark a little bit too.
I used to, when I was in high school, I worked at a Comfort Inn and I worked full time as a night auditor, and I used technology to my advantage, and I was able to use technology so well that I would get my job done within the first 2 hours, and then I would lock the front door and sleep in the lobby for the rest of the night.
Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So when I did work at that hotel, one of the big things was snowmobilers always coming in, and you're even further north. How do you attract people in the winter? Because that's got to be hard. Like for me, I sit here, like Renee bugs me all the time. You coming up this winter? And I'm like, no.
He'll only agree to meet me in Mexico.
That's right. So how do you deal with that? How do you get people up and saying, hey, it's minus 30 degrees out. Come on up and enjoy the weather.
Well, I think we're still trying to expand on those experiences, right? So people, if they have something fun to do, like jumping on the local snowmobile trails,
yeah,
then it gives them an excuse, right? Hey, let's get the boys together. Let's go from Atacocan to Fort Frances today, and we'll spend the night in Fort Frances. And then they enjoy a couple of bevvies and a burger in the lounge at night. And it makes it something to do on a weekend in Northwestern Ontario. So still trying to push those experiences that gives people a reason to get out and do something.
I think that's the key. You've said it a few times. It's all about the experience, right?
And that disconnection from the hustle and bustle of your life.
Yes.
And it's a bit simpler. It's a bit quieter. You're more connected to nature. You get grounded in that. And even just walking out your hotel room and you're looking at Rainy Lake, it's a wonderful feeling.
For children, it's freedom. Yeah. Like I've often had my southern friends come up with their families and say, I kind of feel like when I'm in the city, my kid is like a dog on a leash, where when I come up north, I could just take the collar off altogether and let the kid go loose. That sense of freedom is liberating. It's a completely different lifestyle up north.
I do shock collars.
Yeah, some need them.
We don't need shock collars, but we do a fun sort of format when hockey teams stay with us on the weekends. Nice. Is we have a couple of hockey nets outside, and we set up parking lot hockey for them. And it's kind of a double win. They don't play in the hallways also they want to go outside. They want to run. We have some tennis balls and stuff at the front desk. They grab it and they can go outside and play. It's kind of a wonderful little noise outside that you hear the kids laughing 100%. And running around, and the parents can chill and hang out and do something else. And the kids are sort of covered. So
it's that's marketing on its own right there.
Yeah, for sure.
I've been watching this new series that our Canadian friend Eugene Levy is doing about traveling. I think the first episode, he's up in Finland and he does one of these container glam experiences. As you throw a couple of glamorous container units on the ice as ice fishing huts, but have them super, super fancy and charge mega buck for it. I bet you'd get a lot of Americans super interested in that type.
Agreed. And we just went ice fishing yesterday with our kids. It's just a great way to get out. And if you had a really glam rentable ice fishing hut, it's just I think locals would even use it. Not everyone is set up to go and do that, but you got to make things easy for people nowadays. And that's part of marketing, right?
Definitely.
Make it so that it's easy to book that package. It's easy to have the gear ready and available so that they can jump right into the experience, because people expect easy now. And they don't have the time to have honed their craft and ice fishing and have all the gear. They just want to show up and try it for the day.
Every marketing strategy we do, we actually have like a section that's called the lazy factor, because that's kind of what our society has come to with everything is being so convenient that if you have to work for something, people are like, no, I'm not interested.
And there's still challenges for us I have a million ideas and a million cool things we could do, especially on our location. But, you know, restaffing after COVID was challenging, and it still kind of is. I mean, what business right now is not looking for employees? Yeah. So I still feel like that holds us back to a certain degree, but we keep planning and, you know, doing what we can based on our staffing level. But I feel really passionate about expanding our offering to those experiences so that people can truly enjoy our area.
I'm going to jump in there, and I have a question. I want to go back to the COVID thing because I think that's important, and I'm going to touch on some financial stuff. And I know you mentioned the wing thing, but was there anything else? Like, I know there were grants available throughout Ontario and people were taking advantage of it. Did you jump in on any of that to try to stay afloat?
Yeah, for sure. We actually were recognized through our local Chamber of Commerce. We won the Pivot Award for the year. Nice. So we really did try our best to pivot during COVID, and you had to. I mean, that was out of necessity, but we tried to keep people working, change our offering. I also applied for every single grant or loan or any financial support through the government that could help our business, that could help people working. So they had great programs out there. And some of them, I mean, I made a huge nerdy spreadsheet to, you know, do the wage subsidy stuff. But that was an amazing help during a difficult time. And it literally let people keep working. So
it was pivoting.
Yeah, for sure.
So something I know you're a little bit modest about, but you were recently nominated for the 31st annual RBC Canadian Woman Entrepreneur Award.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
You're clearly kicking ass, which is amazing. But that leads me to an even more important topic, where I'd like to get your take on being a woman in business, because I see my own client base and I'm told stories how they say they're in a meeting with men in the room. And some men, even though they're lower experience or their title's lower or whatever it is, they still act like they are the boss, which is absolutely ridiculous. So I guess my question is, how difficult is it in 2023 to be a woman in business? Like, what's it like to be in your shoes?
I think that there are some unique challenges, and I think you just have to build your comfort level and your grit, and you'll notice and you'll get into situations where maybe there's some bias, maybe there's some misunderstanding, maybe there's, hey, you're just the owner's daughter, you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, there was a transition period where if my dad was in the room, people wouldn't look at me. Right? I would set up the meeting. I would be speaking. I would have all the content. But because my dad was there and well earned, he ran it for 40 years. I mean, they should look at him in that way as well. But I did have to be a little more direct so that I was taken seriously in some situations. So I definitely had to build some skill around that and be comfortable with it and step out of your comfort zone as a woman who's supposed to be a certain way in certain situations. So I had to nudge myself myself a little bit so that I felt like I was best serving my business and best handling the situation if I felt I was facing some bias. So there still is some, but for the most part, I think that once you develop that relationship and you're the real deal, views aren't so firm these days where, well, they're just never going to accept me because I'm a woman in business. Yeah. I don't feel it's that extreme, but you might have to push a little harder at the start to develop that, to prove yourself. And then the opportunity is there for you.
There's also the fact that that last generation of, I would say sexism is really sort of on their way out to retirement where
yes.
I think society as a whole is sort of seeing this as a different reality, which is, you know, the way it should be. So,
and if you're in tune with who you're dealing with, I mean, you change your approach slightly anyways, right?
Yeah.
Based on who you're talking to, what age they might be, what generation, you know, the conversation I have with someone near retirement age and someone entering the workforce, my strategy shifts a little bit there so that I know I'm speaking their language. So you have to adapt, I think, to be a successful business owner in that way. Then that's no different to the topic you just brought up, right? You gotta feel the room and then you've got to take the step, whatever the approach needs to be.
For sure. Hey, I want to take a break, but I feel like you are super busy by running a business. And when we come back, I'm hoping you'll stick around. And I'd love to talk about how you manage your household on top of your business.
I'm in.
Sarah Noonan guiding the financial planning, the marketing, and the social piece, all three elements of our podcast.
I told you, she's the smartest person in the room.
Rock star.
We'll be right back.
Canadians lose a lot of sleep in the hands of the wrong advisor. That's why we keep our clients informed with our transparent and holistic planning approach. No need to invest in sleep aids.
Hashtag call Renee, certified financial planner of St. Cyr and Associates.
Hey, welcome back. We're all still here, all three of us.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, good thing you're not a French teacher.
Focus, Daryl. Focus.
Focus. All right. So managing a household. So my wife and I, we share the tasks. I let her yell at the kids 50% of the time. So with the busy life, like, you know, the work-life balance and trying to get your shit together, it's like, how do you get through a day? How do you make it like, you know, you got the supportive husband, you got, you know, hopefully your staff is there for you. Like, what is it that really brings it all together?
And nourishing your relationship with your husband too, right? Because that's really, really important. I mean, I often hear people say, well, I got to put my kids first. It's like, fuck, you know what? In 18 years from now, your kids are fucking gone, but you're with your husband or your wife for the rest of your life. And if you don't nourish that relationship, you're not going to be doing a very good job at raising your family, your kids, right? Get a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah, it's kind of a whole package deal. So I definitely have a wonderful husband and we do very much a team approach to stuff in the home life. Very fortunate for that. And part of it is I had to change some of my own expectations where I truly don't get done in a day what I think I'm going to in my business life. So things just come up, right? And you have to get okay with not getting done what you thought you would, but you just keep plugging away. So sometimes you have to change the expectation on yourself so you don't drive yourself insane. But also our team is wonderful. I have amazing managers. They do a lot of great work, and surrounding yourself with people that you enjoy being around, that do wonderful things for the company, that's a big game changer in terms of keeping balance in the business and your home life.
For sure. I don't work with clients if they don't believe in their business. And so when you find an owner who believes in their business, they love what they do, that really is a trickle-down effect to their team. And the team will definitely, like I see it all the time, where the team ends up backing the owner because they're invested, right? It's not just a job, it's a family.
And it's a team, right? Like that element of team is so important. And if you foster that and demonstrate it and you bring on like-minded people, it's an amazing thing. So super grateful to the VU crew and my managers that are here.
Nice, the VU crew. I love that.
You mentioned earlier you felt you grew up in the VU, you know, as your parents were running the place. Do you find yourself bringing your kids to work a lot and letting them sort of run around and help you with chores, or do you try to keep that separate?
You know what? I feel like they're maybe not quite at that age. Carmen's 10, she's the oldest, so maybe soon, but I guess maybe that's more my preference where I enjoy keeping that a bit separate at this point so that if they come over, then maybe I will stay longer and it blends. I guess I like the separation at the age the kids are at. And then as they get older and want to work in the business, then I can't wait for them to come and do that if they want to. But But for now, it's nice that if I have to have family time, then I'm leaving the building. Otherwise, it's really hard to give them any focus or attention. I mean, I remember my sister and my cousin, we would play house in the bathroom stalls. So, I mean, maybe if we let them in, they'd create some fun games, but haven't really done that yet.
I'm telling you, if I owned a hotel, my kids at a young age would be driving around on those little plastic tricycle things like the wheelies. I'd tell them, go through the halls, and any adult you see, I want you to stop the bike and be like, red rum.
I don't know. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think we also live in a different generation where your mom and dad, when they were raising you, would be okay to be riding around the hallways in a tricycle. Whereas nowadays with social media and you know, we mentioned earlier of everything, you know, being easy and everyone wanting everything right away and having it their way, it'd be a little bit more tricky to have your kids running up and down the hallway and, you know, potentially having some people complain. I mean, I find people are not nearly as forgiving as the good old days.
Those damn Karens.
Yeah, that's a valid point. I guess I never thought of it, but maybe there is a bit of a shift in expectation that way. I wouldn't feel comfortable having my kids run around the place and causing a ruckus. And maybe you're right. It wouldn't be well tolerated by guests or by staff. I do like to set an example based on, you know, what I expect people to do in the building. I try to model myself.
So we talked about juggling, and now I have to ask the big question. At the end of the day, or if it's the middle of the day, what is your zen? What is part of your schedule that you're like, here's my reset button? That's what I call it. I need to hit the reset button. What do you do to kind of reset?
Well, I'm not super great at prioritizing that. So that is a growth goal for me.
Yeah. I lose my reset button all the time. I can't find it half the time.
It's just so easy to prioritize the other elements of your life. But something this year that I'm finding a lot of joy in is I've started playing squash again. And I used to play as a youth, and I played for many years, and we have a ladies' night, and it just correlates with the same time that my daughter swims. So I get to go to the complex and she swims, and I've got to play squash again. So those little activities that I can put into my schedule, I find a lot of joy in that.
So that means we can't play a game of squash, because with all this gender equality thing, it has to be a women's night.
Well, we can play, but you just have to be okay with losing to a girl, Renee.
The story of my life.
Do you ever go there and just be like, hey, I'm here to squash my stress?
Bad dad joke out of the way.
Well, I just think it naturally is that, right? Let out the energy.
My button is definitely cooking. I mean, I can come home and I prepare my meal for the evening, and it allows me to check out.
Yeah, so, for sure.
And you post some awesome food pics.
Yeah, well, I have a friend. His name is Daryl. He's taught me to be very good at photography and how to make sure I share that properly on all social media platforms.
He's got to Photoshop it then to hide your burn marks? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. I don't scrape the burns off the toast. I just Photoshop it.
I've always tried to find that zen, and I could never find it. It took me years to find that reset button. And then just recently, I built a little theater in my house, and that has become my kind of my sanctuary, where if the day's going bad or as soon as I get home, it's like, I'm going to go in there and just watch a movie. Even if I don't finish the movie, I just get in there and it's like, ah, that's okay. So Sarah, we want to thank you for coming on. This was great.
Many thanks. This was awesome.
My pleasure. I enjoyed it very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
You are a rock star, and we are expecting great things from you. So we'll be watching out for you on all social media platforms.
And I'm going to work on saying the name of your business.
Me too.
La Place Rendezvous. Mm.
Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. I'm glad you said it was our guest, because she is freaking awesome.
She really is a rock star. Yeah. She's to be admired for sure. It was great having her. That was a great conversation.
Oh, it was for sure. I'm going to have to go up to Fort Frances now. And
yeah, you'll have to join me. It's only like an 11 and a half hour drive from Kirkland Lake. It's awesome. Not boring at all, too. Like, you can count the trees.
Can we go in the summer?
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys next time.
Ciao.